local talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Yep, here we are. We're going to talk dirty. Commissioner
of
Dirt.
Yeah, we're going to talk about a lot of dirt, yeah. dirt and stuff. But welcome to the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show, and I will talk about lawns. I'll talk about gardens and landscapes and all that, but you can question me all you want. All you got to do is call 673-4464. We'll get you right on the air. Ask your question, and I'll give you so many answers, your head will spin.
And it'll work this week. We're live.
Yeah, we're live? I hope we're live.
Well, just barely, but we're here.
But please, if you have a question, don't hesitate to call. I mean, don't go out to the fairgrounds and forget I'm on the air, okay? Jeez Louise. But, you know, one of the most challenging things we face here in Douglas County is how do you keep deer from destroying my vegetable garden and fruit trees, for crying out loud? The little critters are all over.
Shoot them.
Well, that's one way, yeah. But they have to have horns, and it has to be in the season.
Oh.
Yeah, so you just can't go out there and plug them. You know, you could have a scarecrow out there, or you could sleep out there, and when they jump the fence or wiggle through the fence, you scare them. But, you know, then they'd trample all over your vegetables and destroy your garden that way.
Trying to get out of there.
Yeah. But if you don't want a 10-foot fence around your yard, what can you do? Well, I've heard many solutions over the years, and some actually work. You know, I've heard, hanging old clothes out there or stockings or, you know, just weird things.
Garlic. That,
garlic or these twirly things, you know.
Yeah.
That kind of buzz and twirl in the wind. And they probably work to some extent, but, you know, the deer are not stupid.
No.
Totally. That's why they are out there living in the woods. And, you know, they get used to that kind of thing, and it doesn't bug them. So you'd have to have a whole set of apparati to hang on your garden fence.
Change it up every now and then.
Yeah, change it up so, you know, you make them something different, or you sleep out there and scare them to death or shoot them. I don't know.
Can we say that?
I just did, so... You can turn me into whoever if you don't want. But, like I say, a 10-foot fence, man, that's a lot of work. It will keep them out. But it's just a hard thing to tackle. Depends on how big your garden is, too.
Yeah.
I've got an 8-foot fence around mine. I mean, you know, that's how long the wire came, 8 foot. So, you know, we put it up.
You left it that way, yeah.
Yeah, I left it that way. And so far I haven't had any damage except when we forget somebody goes out into the garden and forgets to close the gate or latch the gate.
Right,
and they
kind
of, you know, push through and go, huh, look at this. They left the gate open. Bob, come on down.
We're in heaven.
Yeah, we're in dear heaven. But, you know, there's, like I say, a lot of solutions and some actually work. However, my solution, like I said, came as a wire fence. It works better than anything I've tried over the years.
Mm.
And the majority of our vegetables are safe and can grow to maturity. And my dog is also a great protector as well. Yeah, they come in the yard, which they frequently do. He sets up a howl, and and if I let him out, I mean, he's on the hunt, and they escape very quickly.
Yeah, they don't like that.
No, and I have a hard time getting him back in off the trail, you know. But, you know, if you don't have some sort of barrier to keep these wonderful creatures from eating all you planted, don't waste your time. Don't think that living in the city limits is going to protect your garden
or
even your landscaping. Because over the years, so many folks have called the nursery that I used to own and said, "Hey, I got deer in my yard. What do I do?" And you know, I ask them a few questions about fencing or have you done this or you have done that?
Mm-hmm.
And some folks have and some folks haven't. And I try to give them some ideas to keep those wonderful creatures from getting in there and wiping you out. And it's not just garden plants. They love the landscape. They love They don't eat rhododendrons too much, and for some reason they're not good for them, or they're kind of poisonous to them, or something like that. That's what I've read over the years.
Do they like blackberries?
Yeah, but they don't like the thorns. You know, they got to wait till the blackberries are ripe.
Oh, of course. So, they want the good stuff.
Yeah, so you could surround your garden with blackberries, I guess, and go from there.
Roses.
Yeah. But, you know, like I say, living in the city is not going to protect your garden or even your landscape. So what's interesting is that once the deer have discovered your garden, they don't forget where you live. Yeah, they're pretty smart little boogers. And they'll also remember your landscape plants and prune them every year at least. And so you need to learn what the deer like and don't plant those plants in your yard. And, you know, that list is somewhat limited and small. They munch on almost all plants. For instance, roadies are not attractive to deer, as I said earlier, but somehow azaleas are. And I've had roadies and azaleas planted in some of my beds at home, and, you know, some of my clients over the years. And they'll come in, and when the azaleas are in bloom, they'll eat all the flowers right off the top and munch on some of the branches too. But the roadies right next to them, they don't touch.
They can tell the difference, huh?
I guess so. They're plant experts.
Well, I guess. Wow.
And so, but the favorite, you know, favorite for deer are the flowers, and any flower, it seems. It doesn't matter. I don't know if there are poison flowers that we could put out there or not. But
I bet you checked into it.
Oh yeah, right. And did you know that deer will munch on edible mushrooms as well? I didn't know that, and I was doing some research and was talking about you know this is what they like, this is what they'll do, this, and then I came across this edible mushrooms, and they somehow do not nibble on the unsafe varieties, you know, the ones that are poisonous. They leave them alone.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, so I mean, these guys are smart. I mean, they avoid them. Yeah, you know, they're smarter than people, for crying out loud, in that respect. And a lot of people pick the wrong mushrooms and find out, oh no, I shouldn't have done that one. But deer seem to shun plants with like intense aromas if they smell really, I don't know, just fragrant, super fragrant. They kind of...
They don't like it.
They kind of get away. But and then some plants just have a bad taste. I don't know which ones they were. There was no list about plants with bad taste from deer because the deer didn't respond to the question, apparently.
No.
And, you know, oh, gosh. But here's a short list of some plants that are deer-resistant. Not deer-proof totally, but deer-resistant. Ice plant, which crawls along the ground, is not on their menu. An ice plant is a pretty little ground cover. It's a very tough ground cover, and the leaves are like, they don't look like normal leaves. They're kind of a long, skinny leaf, real tight.
They look like they taste bitter.
But. Oh, yeah, but they leave those dudes alone. you know, that's not in our menu today, thank you. But it crawls along the ground, and it's not their menu, so you kind of plant, if you've got some other plants in there, you put some ice plant in between them as ground covers, and that acts as a
barrier type?
A little bit of a barrier.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't like the smell of it. I'm not sure, you know, exactly what they want. But and another one is verbena. It's a flowering ground cover. Just hugs the ground and flowers, like, you know, from, oh, shoot, 1st of May to 1st of October, and has, you know, lots of flowers. But they don't seem to touch that. Why? I don't know. Maybe it's the smell, maybe the taste, maybe it's poisonous to the deer. But those two things are good that way. Then there's perennials like black-eyed Susan, bleeding heart, catnip, columbine.
Well, I'd stay away from those women, too.
Yeah, really. And ferns and iris. That's just to name a few. There was a fairly extensive list when I was doing the research on this. And I was surprised that they don't eat black-eyed Susans. I mean, you know, big yellow flower up there and look, you know, look good, bleeding heart. Well, I mean, okay, I wouldn't eat them either, but they're a lot smarter than I. But they're not fond of bamboo or pampas grass or most ornamental grasses. They might nibble a little bit, but they pretty much leave them alone. And they go, oh, okay, I'm going to eat that thing over there.
Yeah, try this out.
Yeah, I guess bamboo, maybe because it's too tough. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's
what
I was
saying. On the stems or something like that.
Yeah.
And pampas grass, who knows? But, you know, they just kind of get those. So when you do your landscape, you want to incorporate some of these plants in amongst your other plants so that just kind of acts as a natural barrier. And if they smell one, maybe they'll leave the other ones alone that are edible, if that's
right.
That's a good way to do it. And like I say, not fond of bamboo, so I mean, bamboo.
That's easy to grow too.
Oh yeah, and it grows fast and all that, but it grows tall, and maybe they don't like tall plants. They like the
little baby ones,
right? But if they're starving, you know, like all bets are off if they're starving. You know, if we get a super snowstorm or something like that, and
they'll eat
they probably eat your porch. You know. And then there's some trees they avoid as well.
Oh.
Which they love dogwood, for crying out loud. I know that. But like American sweet gum. It gets
the
to be
heck
a,
is that?
It's a sweet gum. It looks like maple, but the leaves are kind of orangey red in the fall, and they're more columnar. They're not a spreading type. And you'll see them as street trees because they grow tall and skinny. Not super skinny. But
I know I've seen them.
Oh, yeah. They're all over Roseburg. If you haven't seen one, you haven't opened your eyes.
Probably in Laurelwood for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that. Yeah. You know, they might be damaged from a deer doing a horn rub on the bark.
Ooh.
Because they might say, well, I don't like that tree salt, but I'll just damage it a little bit so it gets weak.
You know? Get it out of my way one way.
Yeah, but they do a horn rub. California myrtle trees are safe as well. And it says in this research I was doing in a different area, they said the dogwoods were safe too. But I don't know. I've seen some dogwoods destroyed by deer. So, But for some reason, and I've got a lot of Japanese maples in my yard, mm-hmm. they've been damaged by deer, but I have a lot of them around. But the damage has been very minimal, very few branches eaten. And Japanese maples are beautiful. You know, there's so many varieties there's hundreds of varieties of Japanese maples, and you know, and they go from light green, dark green to reds and almost purple. And, you know, so they're a very attractive tree, and they don't get a lot of the weepers, of course, only get about 5-6 feet tall and about, 7 or 8 feet wide. So if a deer is hungry enough, they might try to nibble on some of the leaves as they're passing by or something like that. But they don't destroy them. They just kind of, and then are some plants, they just wipe them out to the ground. Any petunia, marigold, you know, something that's, you know, you put in because it's colorful and it blooms all summer. They go in there and mow them down in a hot minute.
Oh, no.
So, and I've always warned when we were running the nursery.
Yeah.
Customer come in and say, I want this and I want that, but I got deer. Well, that narrows the field down real very quickly. And you know, they say, well, how about this? I said, no, they'll go after that. Well, how about this? No, they'll go after that. Well, they won't go after this one. But this one that I'm showing the client says, there's not very many flowers on it, or it doesn't. That's not what I'm looking for.
It's not attractive to them.
No, it's not attractive for some reason. And I wish scientifically we could
find out why.
Yeah, find out why. What is repelling about that particular plant?
And plant more of these.
Yeah,
things.
Plant more of these dudes, and we're good. You know, juniper are a tough plant, and not much kills a juniper. And deer don't seem to be attracted to them, but I've seen, you know, minimal damage on a juniper. They'd you know, probably take a few bites and go, yeah, I don't like that anymore, and get the heck out of here. But young fruit trees or young fir trees.
I bet
trees,
they love those.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Oh, yeah.
They'll just go right after them puppies.
Well, should we take a break?
We'll take a break, and I'll be back with Deer Talk.
All right, and the phone number?
673-4464 is the number, and questions are
welcome.
I'm ready to go. I'm welcome. I'll take them. I'll take every one of them.
Bring them on.
Bring them on.
All right, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty. Mike and I are back, but where are you, my friend? The line is open.
673-4464. Any question is fair game, so don't be shy.
Yeah.
I'll give you an answer. Maybe you'll like it, maybe you won't.
We don't bite. Well.
He does. I
do. I do, yeah.
But anyway, I'm talking about, you know, deer and the damage they like to inflict upon us in our yards. And
hey, we got a call.
Oh, we got a call. That was quick.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi, Mike. My name is Deidre, and I've got some tomato plant questions.
Yeah.
My leaves are having, they have like black patches on them.
Hmm.
And then my tomatoes are rotting on the vine.
Oh, really? What's your watering technique with them?
I water. They're not overhead, but they are sprayers off the ground.
Uh huh. How often?
Pardon me?
How often are they watered?
They're morning and night, about 8 minutes.
Well, that's way too much, and that's probably the main reason that they're curling up and turning brown, and the leaves are kind of, you know, ugly and falling off. They don't like a lot of water. I water my tomatoes once a week with a hose very quickly, and I don't get any on the leaves. No water on the leaves. I just water around the base of the plant and get a good soak and leave it alone. And like I say, maybe once a week, maybe if it's not 100 degrees, you know, maybe every 8 days or 9 days or something like that. I just watch them, and if they look if they look limp, you know, and the leaves are kind of sagging down, and it looks like they're not standing straight out where they should be, that's an indicator that they need a good soak. If the leaves are looking good, and just ignore them. But you can, what you can do, of course, is to put your hand down there next to the plant and you know, go down about 4 to 6 inches and feel. If you find dampness in the ground all around it, they're fine. They don't need any water. If you got your hand down there and it feels bone dry, then you give them a soak. But depending on the type of soil you have, that might be once every 4 days or once every 7 days. So just back off on the watering and don't fertilize them at this point, because they will surely not do well with fertilization in the condition that they are now in.
Mm. Okay. So it's not a fungus, it's a water issue?
I think it would be. That's the first thing that comes to mind. You know, I've planted tomatoes out at my place for years and years and years, and I've never had a fungus problem with them. And you know, you try it. How many tomato plants you got?
About 40.
Only 40? Won't you whiz?
Yeah.
So don't water them for a while. Don't fertilize them for a while.
Okay.
Pull any dead leaves off that you can, and then just watch them closely.
Mm-hmm. So it's a water thing for the leaves. Because what started it was the leaves were curling.
Yeah.
And the 100 degree stuff come through.
Yeah.
And but then I started noticing all this black patches.
Yeah.
On them.
Yeah. That's over water.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate you guys very much.
Well, and call back in a couple of weeks and tell me how they are.
Okay, will do. I'll cut the water.
Good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thanks
thank
for the
you.
Call.
All right.
Yeah. You know, they
sounded skeptical.
Pardon me?
She sounded a little skeptical about the water problem.
Well, everybody is. I mean, that's a natural reaction. What do you mean the water is too much, or what? You know,
yeah.
The plants are doing this, but it's the root. See, the root system in those plants, the roots are is like a hair. That's how big, mm-hmm. big they are. They're just like
they
hair.
Can't take a whole lot of water.
Right,
yeah.
And you get too much water in there, and that begins to rot the
yep.
roots. And
yeah.
then as the roots are beginning to rot, there's no food coming up from the ground up into the plant. So consequently, you start to see the tops dying or curling up or turning brown or, you know, something's not right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I watered my tomato plants this morning, and that's the first time I've watered them this year. Yeah.
This year?
This year.
Wow.
Yeah. Only had them in for an hour, but no.
No.
No. I think my wife might have watered them, too, when it was real
hot.
Real hot, yeah, but not a lot.
Yeah.
Just enough to keep that root system cool, but not to the point where you put so much water in them that, mm-hmm. that the roots rot. They just, you know, you can see it. If you dig up a plant and you go, wow, what's wrong with the roots? Well, it was basically
soggy
and not doing well. So
you think it's too late for those plants, the ladies' plants?
No, not necessarily, because tomatoes are a very vigorous growing plant.
Okay.
And if she kicks back on it, it'll give them time to recoup. And if we don't get any 100-degree weeks again, they may be late, because we've been eating tomatoes now for off our vines for about 2 weeks. I mean, they're just pumping them out,
mm-hmm.
Just pumping them out. And and of course my soil in I've got the raised planters about 2 foot deep, and it's all good fast draining soil, so the water doesn't it'll pass through, and then the plant will just take what it needs to survive and grow. But if it's not passing through and just pooling underneath,
it's just
sitting there and rotting the roots.
Yeah, that's no good.
That's not just tomatoes. That's any plant, trees. It doesn't matter. A lot of times, you know, and I've spoken about this 100 times on this show. Some folks go and get a bare root tree, for instance, at a nursery in February, and they'll plant it, and the ground is wet, but mm-hmm. they'll water it anyway, just to settle the soil, and then they'll go out maybe in 2 weeks and water it again. But the ground hasn't dried out,
right?
And so consequently, when the leaves are trying to come out on the tree or the shrub, it can't make it because the roots are so damaged. It's just not operable, and
you got to give it a chance.
Right. And you know,
give me one more chance.
Yeah, and most folks, they just don't know how that operates. And if they were to do a little experiment in their garden, let's say you got 6 tomato plants and you water 3 of them, you know, heavy, and water 3 of them lightly, see which ones are doing the best.
That's what I was thinking with the caller.
Okay.
Just, you know, water some.
Yeah,
and see how they do compared to the ones. Yeah,
right, and you'll see a difference. There'll be an amazing difference in the plants. So.
With 40 plants, she should have.
I wonder if she's just pulling her.
Oh, leg. It could have been
40 plants, 40 tomatoes. I mean, that's a lot of tomatoes.
Oh,
my goodness. Well, I think we might have 5 or 6 is all, and we can't eat them all, for crying out loud. We're giving them to the kids. I have slices of tomato every night for dinner, regardless of what the dinner is. My wife is out there picking fresh ones and slicing them up, and so I got to eat, a tomato every night at least.
You got to be a healthy specimen.
Oh, I am. I am, definitely. I'm the tomato man.
don't you put a little salt and mayonnaise?
Well, I don't put just salt.
Just salt?
Yeah, I'm tough that way.
Okay.
Yeah, I just salt. Well, sometimes she'll have a homemade salad dressing. You put a couple of drops on there.
Oh.
That tastes pretty good, too.
Oh, yeah.
I like the taste of tomatoes, though. And the salt, that's how I was raised. Just put salt on them, kid, nothing else.
Speaking of which, tomatoes, you think it's ketchup, is tomatoes.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it is. I looked at the label.
Mm-hmm.
It's all bunch of other junk in there,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's lots of
high
stuff in there.
Fruit, whatever.
Fructose.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
More people want to read the ingredients on the bottles of stuff that they pour on their food and say, well, what am I doing here? I want
that was on the store brand, the less expensive one. I didn't look at the more,
yeah.
Like, well, I don't want to mention any names, but.
No, of course not.
Well, like Heinz. I don't know whether that's pure tomatoes or not.
No, they're all altered with all kinds
are
of...
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Just read the back and you go, whoa, that, just to make ketchup, they put all that stuff in there? What's wrong with them people?
Be easier to can it yourself if you knew how.
That's right.
Well,
exactly.
Shall we take a quick break?
We'll take a quick break and we'll be back. And if you have questions, 673-4464.
There you go. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Okay, what more can be said after that break?
Well, I don't know. It's a long break, it seems.
Yeah, a couple or two, 3 minutes. I don't know.
Well, it seemed like about 15 minutes. Anyway.
Phone number, Mike.
Oh, 673-4464 if you have a question about any part of your garden or your trees or your shrubs or your lawn or anything like that, you can feel free to ask and we'll come up with a solution for you.
You got plenty of time.
There are lots of solutions, you know, it just depends. I'll ask a few questions and try to put you on the spot and hopefully I'll know what you're doing incorrectly and then we can fix it from there.
There you go. Free advice, no less.
Yeah, I don't charge anything for it. They won't let me. I tried. But I was talking about, you know, deer-resistant shrubs and plants and things like that. And there are very few. And sometimes deer are so ornery, they just eat it. They just bite it and spit it out of their mouth because it doesn't taste good.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Those are the kind that...
Yeah, yeah. But also, there are some trees they kind of avoid as well.
Oh.
And like American sweet gum, it's a tall... kind of a tree. They look like a maple, but they're not. But they avoid eating the limbs and trying to destroy the tree. And usually the most damage they'll do is like a horn rub on the bark. So if you know you got a young buck with brand new antlers and he's got velvet on, he's got to get rid of him. So he'll rub up and down on the bark, try to get rid of all that velvet on his horns. And that has a detrimental effect. And if they horn rub the tree all the way around and totally destroy the bark, the tree's going to die. But if they do it on one side and 50% of the bark is gone, the tree will survive. It'll slow down. The wounds have to heal, and it'll be okay. But they don't like American sweet gum. I don't know why.
Are they prejudiced?
No, they just, for some reason, it doesn't taste good or something. And they'll avoid it. And like I say, just horn rub it or something. California myrtle trees are safe as well. And dogwoods. I've got dogwoods. Gee whiz, I've got a ton of dogwoods out at my place. Planted ones and natural ones, native ones. And they might, as they're passing by, eat a leaf, but they leave the tree alone. And, you know, I'm thinking, whoa, that's, of all the trees, I would think they'd find that one the most nutritious.
Yeah, yeah.
And like I said, they leave my Japanese maples alone. They'll take a leaf or two, but they don't seem to be appetizing enough for them to just gobble the tree
up.
You
need to put a higher price tag on them.
or take the cameras and the jukebox away. But those are nice yard trees, and none, like I say, of my Japanese maple have been damaged by deer. And I planted them not just right in front of the house by the front door, but I've got them across on the other side of the creek. I've got one or two up on a hillside, and they're doing really well. So we got a call?
We do have a call.
All right.
Hey, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Okay, this is his brother.
Uh-oh.
I got a question for him.
Which brother anyway, is this?
your youngest one, the one that got whiter hair than you almost.
Oh, this is Bobby Joe, huh?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, what do you need, Joey?
I'm going to redo outside my fence line along my driveway, and I was thinking, I wonder if verbena are deer-proof. Then you answered that, which is beautiful.
Good.
How drought-resistant are they?
Once they're established, they're very drought-resistant. And
okay, because I would plant them like in December.
Oh, I plant them earlier than that, you know.
Earlier than that?
Yeah, like, you know, sometime mid-October, and you'd water them once when they're in the ground, and just make sure they got good soil in the hole so they can root out. And then next time you'd water them might be May, you know, late April, something like that.
Yeah, and since we're on low gallons.
Yeah.
We're on low gallon well, so, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know. And but they're very tough, and if you fertilize them once a year with some good fertilizer, don't overdo it. And like I say, in the hottest part of the summer, you might go out there once a week and just check them out and check the soil, see how damp they are. And if they're bone dry and they're kind of looking a little peaked, and go ahead and give them a shot. You know,
maybe kind of like me after this weather.
Yeah, there you go. Same thing, same idea.
Hey, what about candy tuft? Are they in the same ballpark?
Same thing.
Okay.
Most of the ground covers are tough.
Okay.
And most people that buy ground covers, they usually overwater them because they think they're so cute, and if they're cute, that means they're dainty and they need a lot of care. Wrong. They don't.
Yeah, well, I'm going to put a couple crepe myrtle in there, and I'm just going to protect them with fabric, or with, you know, the anti-horn stuff.
Netting?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we are in deer haven out there.
Well, you know, and you ought to get some good deer stuff and just spray in between the plants and spray the plants, not when it's hot sun on them, but, you know, in the evening or something like that, and spray the plants and in between the plants and around the whole kind of area. Just give it a big area, and that will also help.
Well, wonderful. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, that'll be $3.95.
Is that $3,000,095?
Yeah,
what?
How did you know?
Yeah.
You guessed. That's good, Joe.
Because I know you.
Okay.
Yeah, I know you, brother.
Okay.
All right, thank you for your show.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All righty, thank you. Was that really your brother?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
My youngest brother. And he's got a maintenance, landscape maintenance business.
Which one? Put a plug in for him.
I don't know what his, he just goes by Joe Winters Landscape Maintenance.
Oh, okay.
Like that.
Okay, it's local then.
Well, oh, yeah. He lives out there towards Glide.
Oh, okay. Well, that's where all the smoke is.
About half, just, you know where the Whistler's Bend turn off?
Yeah.
He just lives maybe a half a mile up from there.
Oh, nice area up there.
Oh, it is. It is. He's got plenty of trees, plenty of shade, and nice little place. I got 5 or 6 acres or something on.
Just right.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, I've been talking about trying to deer-proof, and what to watch out for, and what kind of trees and shrubs are safe from deer. Not many, but they are. But California myrtles, like I said, are safe. And dogwoods are actually safe, except for, you know, a little bit of browse once in a while. And both can be a nice yard tree. And none of my Japanese maples have been damaged by deer extensively.
Hmm.
And I have, like, many planted on the all over. I got some in the front, in the back, across the creek, up the hillside. And they seem to survive, and I can't remember the last time I watered the one up on the hillside, but it's looking beautiful.
When in doubt, leave it alone.
Leave it alone, man. It's okay. It found its niche. Oh, man. But, you know, some of the other things are like a flowering cherry. Any flowering cherry they don't seem to mess with, or holly. juniper, lilacs, magnolia
lilacs, they don't like those either.
No, they at least at my place they don't.
Yeah.
And pines and spruce and most conifers. They might take a bite out of the top or something like that, or just nibble on something, but it's not their favorite food. I've had Christmas trees planted out down my field.
They're probably
400 or 500 feet from the house. And I run my dog down there every night. And I have no deer damage. They've been in 5-6 years now.
Huh.
And they're doing well. No deer damage at all.
I'll be darned.
There's several hundred. I lost count. So
that's quite a few.
Yeah. You know, I thought, well, nice spot for them. And leave them alone. They don't like them. Good. I'm glad.
Yeah, you finally found something. They'll leave it alone.
But those plants that I just mentioned, you know, the juniper, lilacs, magnolias, pines, and spruces and things like that, that's a very short list. And there are many others to choose from. And if you go to one of the box stores, you can find a book on plants or a bookstore or a real bookstore.
Not Google?
I'm not a Google guy, so. But you can have a book that will give you this information, and it's easy to understand, and they'll have lists of, you know, this is what deer love, and this is what deer kind of ignore half the time, and these are the ones deer don't touch, you know, and so you get a good idea, and that way you can plan your landscape, especially if you're out of town and you got a few acres and there's, you know, deer wandering around a lot.
Yeah.
You can say, well, why invest hundreds of dollars in these plants that will be destroyed in a night if they find them?
Fed by the deer.
Yeah, and we fed these stupid deer, and they're not stupid. They knew what to eat.
They knew what was good.
But, you know, if you're going to spend several hundred dollars on plants, and you want to get those that are the toughest. You want to get those that are deer-proof, maybe not totally, but substantially deer-proof.
Yeah.
And the rest, you just have to, you know, maybe you spray them. There's all kinds of sprays, anti-deer sprays, and all that kind of stuff. So read the labels on the plants, the box or the book.
You might be surprised.
To find out, which ones are hardy against critters. And, you'll be dollars ahead, and you'll be happy that they survived. All right, man, they're looking good, right?
And it makes you feel good too.
Yeah, and the problem I see is that deer don't read the same books I do. And
they don't.
Yeah, I don't know why. We have like I said earlier, we've got a small but highly productive vegetable garden, but like I got an 8-foot stock fence around it because I know that they would. I think one night we left the gate open for some reason, and there was some damage there. So that's, and it might have been my son that wandered up and went in there and looked at it and then walked back out, but didn't latch the gate.
Smack.
And this puppy is 8 foot tall, and, you know, it's got the wire, cattle wire or whatever you want to call it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so they can't squeeze through. Little critters can because... But little critters don't seem to want to eat the garden. I like that.
No. Finally get a break.
Yeah, you get a break there. So, you know, our garden is doing good. And it keeps out the large animals. And it's still, you know, we get the little critters that sneak in at night. But and they might munch on some of our produce. But they don't go through and wholesale destroy the garden.
They don't take the whole.
Which is good. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, okay. And when I... What I find interesting is that we've seen no or little damage from deer on some of our plants, and I'm thinking, why is that? And I don't know if it's the taste. I don't know if it's where they're planted or And then we've seen no damage on our roses. You know, deer are like rose-oriented, it seems like. But they don't mess with our roses either. And I don't know if my wife sprayed so much stuff on them that they
don't like it.
They go, I don't like that, you know. This is crazy. But I don't know. It's what it is.
It's strange.
It's very strange. And then other people have told me about how their rose garden was destroyed and all this. And you know, here's the thing, too. When deer are like they're picky eaters, So if a plant has stickers or spines or thorns on it, they have a tendency to leave it alone.
Ooh.
Yeah, one bite and then, oh, and then pops a thorn in their nose.
Ow, oh, God.
Yeah, they don't like that. Or if a plant tastes bad, after one or two bites, they leave that one alone. And maybe that's why they don't eat roadies, because they might nibble it. They might bite a leaf or two, but it
test it. Yeah.
But yeah, to test it. But the taste is so bad, they go, yeah.
Martha, you can have this one.
Yeah. So here's again another short list of plants that deer like to avoid. Ice plant, that's a good ground cover. Verbena, a good ground cover. Black-eyed Susan, bleeding heart. Cactus.
Oh, no. That one I understand.
Yeah, and there's foxglove and iris. And certain grasses they don't touch, like bamboo, lemongrass, and pampas grass, for whatever reason, whether it's taste or size or, you know, odor, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And then trees, there are trees that are pretty much safe, like a yucca tree, an ash, a sweet gum. And like I said, dogwoods. And I went down through the list. There's another 50 other plants that I just didn't want to sit here and name plants until I went through the whole list.
Probably a good thing. It's time for a break.
Okay, we'll take a break. Be back. Have a question, call me.
With more Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show, the phone number
673-4464.
News Radio 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Alrighty, 4:54. We have several minutes left yet.
Yeah, so if you have a question, make it a quick one and we can get you on the air. But if you don't, I'm just going to continue to talk.
Ramble on.
I'm just going to ramble.
Until Fox News.
Yeah. Well, like I said, they're picky eaters, but they'll eat over 500 different kinds of plants. And now I didn't make up that number. I read it in a book about deer damage. But they will hold out for their favorites each day. Well, we got a call?
We do have a quickie. Woo! Call. Okay. Hey there, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Thank you. Thanks for coming back to us, Mike. I missed you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Question. I bought a couple of those apple trees. They have four different grafts on them from Costco about 3-4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing really well.
Good.
Like a dummy, I let one of the branches get overloaded with apples.
And it broke.
I was too lazy. I was too lazy to drag the ladder out and knock a bunch off.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the branches completely split off of the tree.
Yeah.
What do I do? Do I put some tar on it? I mean, what do you do for tree alley?
How big of a scar did it leave, approximately?
Pretty good size.
Guess.
I think the whole graft split off, actually. It's oblong. It's probably about 10 inches, maybe.
Now, you're talking at the base of the tree?
No. A branch up in the tree.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's one of the grafts.
Okay. So yeah. Can you prune it back and leave some of the branch there? Because if you prune it back,
nope.
or give some tree tar to the scar, that would help it too.
Tree tar would be okay.
Yeah. Uh huh.
It literally like peeled off the tree. I mean, it's flush to the tree.
Huh.
Yeah.
And you might have to tie it up to so it.
Oh, it's gone.
It's gone.
It's gone. It
totally
literally
came off.
Fell off the tree.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, prune any damage that you can, and then treat it with a tree seal of some sort. And they're tough. How old is the tree?
It's probably, I'm going to say, 3 years old, I guess, four years old.
Yeah, the root system is well developed. The rest of the branch is okay?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to have to do some drastic pruning, I think, though.
That's okay. They need it every year, a little bit of pruning.
Well, a little bit, okay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking a lot of it, but I don't know.
I don't have a picture in front of me, and I'm not standing in your yard, so I can't tell you exactly.
Well, son of a gun.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah.
What kind of plants can you plant in a planter that that are can survive, like, dry, being dry?
In a pot. Oh, in a pot? You could put juniper. You could put nandina. And then there's dwarf type junipers that only grow 3 feet tall or 4 feet tall, and arborvita would work. They'd all work. Okay. It depends on the size of the pot too.
Okay. Yeah.
Your best bet is to go to a nursery and walk around and look at the tough stuff.
Gotcha.
To all see right, if you liked you. It or not. You're
right.
Welcome.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for the call. Okay. Bye bye.
All right, that's probably going to do it for the calls.
Okay.
But we have about a minute we can gab here.
A minute to gab. Well, remember, I said those deers are picky eaters, and they'll eat over 500 different kinds of plants.
Good
and
heavens.
I don't have a list of all those plants.
No wonder they're in good shape.
I know, but they hold out for their favorites. Each day, an average-sized adult deer eats about 7 pounds of leaves, stems, buds, and blades and other forage. So elk, of course, can consume
Lord.
3 to 4 times that much. So an elk can, if you have elk, you're out there somewhere by the Callahan or something, you got some fruit trees, an elk can come in there and eat, 20, 25 pounds of branches and leaves off your trees very quickly.
They must get diarrhea afterwards.
I guess. It could eat up to 50 pounds a day.
My heavens.
According to the literature I was reading. So if you have a large landscape, they'll hang around your house for a while. And if they're well fed, they produce healthy, large babies and teach them about your landscaping. So
pass it on to the family.
That's right. So that's all I'm going to say today.
Okay.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. Thanks for listening. I hope you learned something. I always do.
Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome, sir.
We'll probably see you at the fair, huh?
You might. I'll look for you.
Okay. News Radio 93.9 FM at 1240 KQEN. And the afternoon report's coming up. It's 5 o'clock.